Welcome, my friends, to the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson here, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. And I have a guest in studio with me now, Mike Donnelly. It's the first time you visited us at the house, the studio here.
Yes, I've made my way to the bunker.
Yes, exactly. Deep in the recesses.
It took me a while to get here.
Of the forest in Eastern Colorado.
I'm not sure I could find my way back.
Yeah. Okay. Mike Donnelly is an attorney for Homeschool Legal Defense Association. He's out for business reasons to be working on some bills out here for the Colorado legislature. And you travel a bit. You get around, all around.
Well, yes, I get around. Was that a Beach Boy song?
That was a Beach Boy song.
I get around, run, whatever. Yeah. We shouldn't talk about that on this radio program, probably. Yeah.
But you do get around.
Yes.
To legislatures and homeschool organizations and such around the country and around the world. But I want to talk about Cuba, Mike, because this is near and dear to my heart right now. Cuba, very close to America, but a nation that is still somewhat afflicted by...
Very afflicted.
Very, very strong, tyrannical, communist government. And so right now, the biggest issue, and in fact, I would say this is the biggest issue in terms of the persecution of Christians in this side of the world, on this hemisphere. Wouldn't you say? I mean, this is it. There can't be anything more severe than this when it comes to the persecution of Christians or the persecution of homeschoolers.
Well, certainly homeschoolers. I think, you know, when you look at what's happening in Cuba, there is some tolerance that the regime is demonstrating towards churches. And I'm not quite sure why they're doing that, but if you're a Christian and you want to homeschool, and if you're a pastor who wants to homeschool, you are going to get thrown in jail.
Yeah.
So this, absolutely.
And we've talked about this many times on the program, that this is the touch point on the part of communists, socialists, and tyrants all around the world.
That's right.
The reason Richard Wurmbrand was in prison was because he was attempting to, and other churches in the Eastern Bloc were attempting to reach out to the younger generation and evangelize the younger generation. The same thing's happening in China. The reason the pastor Wang Yi is in prison is because he was attempting Christian education for the children in his church.
That's right.
And, you know, there's no question in my mind that the major attack on Christianity around the world is right here. It's because the governments, these powerful governments, have a claim on the hearts, the minds, the souls of the next generation, and they don't want to lose control.
No, they don't want to lose control, and you see that in other countries, not just Cuba, but in countries that want to exert control, like even some Western countries like Germany and Sweden.
That's right.
That will not tolerate children being homeschooled. But in Cuba, you've got Pastor Ramon Rigel and his wife, who are in jail as we speak, being very badly treated in jail.
In fact, you would call it torture.
Well, that's what they call it. Mm-hmm. That's what his brother, who I'm in contact with, calls it. That's what Ramon has said. I've got a long letter. I'm not sure of how much I should talk about all that, but I got a letter from him explaining what was going on.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, it made me think, some people might not appreciate this analogy, but, you know, MLK's letter from the Birmingham jail was a cry out of against injustice, you know? And I kind of feel like this letter from Pastor Ramon was kind of similar.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, Martin Luther King was in America and Ramon Rigel is in the communist country of Cuba. And people would say, well, what do you expect? It's Cuba, you know? But as you said earlier, it's 90 miles from our shore. We can't let this kind of thing happen and not do something about it.
Yeah. And the issue, of course, is that they're stepping out and saying, we're not going to allow for the government to co-opt us on the education and the discipleship of our children. And this is the battle that's going on over the hearts and the minds of our children.
Well, that's exactly why Pastor Ramon was homeschooling his children. He's a pastor of a, you know, an unregistered church, because, you know, if you want to have a registered church in Cuba, that's fine. But if you try to do it outside of their very strict controls, so they don't like that, right? So he was a pastor, and he was not going to send his children to the totalitarian communist indoctrination centers, which are the schools in Cuba. And he found a program from Guatemala that was an online program that was a good educational program, but was Christian-based. And they let him get away with that kind of for a year or so. He was arrested in 17, He was sentenced to a year, but then we appealed that, and it was reduced to hard labor for a year. So he did hard labor. He was still at home, but he would go and do hard labor. But he persisted. And I think what happened was with the Cuban authorities, as he started to tell other people about it and was able to do it and was doing it, and other people started following him, they said, oh, no, we're not going to allow this anymore. This is a threat. And that's when they arrested him and his wife again. Right before they arrested him and wouldn't let him go, we had been told that they were going to let him leave the country. So we actually invested in purchasing flights for him. We had found a place for him to go. And then they went to the airport, and the customs official said, oh, no, you're not leaving. And they put him in jail, and he's been there since almost a year now. So, treated very badly.
So he almost made it out of the country.
Very close. Mm,
wow. Well, he's being persecuted for obeying Jesus. And, you know, it's interesting. There's this comment that was made by Brother Andrew. Mm. Remember Brother Andrew, God Smuggler?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very powerful statement made by Brother Andrew concerning a Russian Christian woman by the name of Ida, who was very famous in the 1960s for her confinement in a communist prison. Just a young woman in her early 20s, I believe. It was Sister Ida, very, very well known amongst Christians.
I've listened to God Smuggler many times with my kids in the car driving here and there.
It's a classic. It's a classic. It's great. But this is the quote, and this was a letter she wrote from a communist prison. This is what Ida said. I've been told more than once you can believe in God but act differently. In other words, believe in God but don't obey his commandments. Mm. This is the condition on which liberty is offered to me. Hmm. More and more frequently, the devil has started saying, reject God's commandments, instead of using the words reject God, but both amount to the same thing. Hmm. So what she's saying is, you know, the governments will allow you to believe in God and to pretend like you believe in Jesus, but if you step out to keep the commandments of God, if you say you're going to teach your children God's word as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down, against the commandments of the state, against the imposition of Hitler or Stalin or anybody else, then now you're in trouble. Now you're in trouble with the state. So this is the rub for our brothers and sisters who are suffering in places like Cuba. Now, one of the things I want to do on this program is I want to raise $5,000, if I can, to support these brothers and sisters and their families, because their families are suffering, aren't they?
Oh, they're suffering a lot. You know, the children, I mean, imagine these two kids, you know, Ramon's got a daughter, Ruth, and a son who's, she's 14, he's 12 now.
Okay.
And, you know, they hardly get to see their parents at all. They're in two separate places with the grandparents. I mean, can you imagine?
Mm-hmm. I know.
You know, I mean, you can imagine, you hear about this happening,
it's tough.
But it's, and the authorities are withholding medical treatment from the family members as a way to kind of get it past Pastor Ramon.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, it's a form of psychological torture that they are inflicting on this family. And there are other people there who would, you know, they would like to homeschool. I hear from people. There are people that I'm in touch with there who are like, I cannot keep sending my children to these schools because they're being, you know, they're being taught this false narrative, this communist atheist ideology, and they want to get out.
Yeah. Well, friends, I think it's time to help this family. And, you know, one of the things that hit me a number of years ago, my wife was reading Brother Un's story, Heavenly Man, out loud to our family. And I broke down and cried at one point. And here's the point at which I cried. It was at the point at which he was lamenting the condition of his wife and children. They were virtually starving to death at the time because he was in prison. He was suffering for his faith, and there was nobody to care for his own family. And at that point, I committed to myself, this would have been 6 years ago, I committed to myself, Mike, that I would never allow that to happen for the rest of my life. If I ever heard a story of a brother or a sister in jail who are suffering for their faith, I will be there for their family.
Well, that's great.
And so I'm challenging people who are listening to the program right now to go to our website. We have an international fund. If you just go to our website, generations.org, and click on donate, you'll see that there is the International Fund. And in the past, we have collected funding for our Chinese brothers, Brother Wang Yi and others who have been persecuted in China. But now we are aggressively asking you to step out and help the least of these, the brothers of Jesus, who are suffering in prison in Cuba. And friends, we have an obligation. If you are a Christian, you have an obligation to help those, to visit those who are in prison, and I think to help their families who are suffering at this time as well. So, Mike, would $5,000 go a distance in Cuba to help some of these brothers and sisters?
$5,000 would go a very long way. I mean, people down there live on very little, $10 a month, and $50 a month in some cases. I mean, that's actually a pretty good salary. But, you know, there are a lot of Christians down there in this area. Pastor Ramon is from Guantanamo, Cuba. That's a city. And there's a church there that is missing their pastor. He was the pastor.
Yeah.
He's the shepherd, and the shepherd's been struck.
Yeah.
You know, he's in jail. And these people need, they need to know that their brothers and sisters are thinking about them. You know, we have at our, at HSLDA, people can also go to hslda.org/regal, R-I-G-A-A-L, to get information about the latest on them. And you can even send a letter to Pastor Ramon.
Excellent.
And people are getting, you know, some of those letters are getting through, but, you know, $5,000 would be very significant, make a very significant impact.
Friends, we are asking you to take advantage of this limited opportunity. How many people do you know in prison for their faith while their children are suffering in the entire Western Hemisphere? I would say I don't know anybody else. There may be another 5 or 6 or 7 or 8, but we have heard about these. And I think the Lord wants us to provide for them. And before I take the break, I want to read from Matthew 25. This is the thing that comes up at the judgment. In other words, if you want to know what's near and dear to the heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus, he's going to be asking you questions on Judgment Day. And this is the thing that comes up. You notice he doesn't talk about who you're voting for president in 2020. He's not asking you whether you were a tremendous evangelist. He's not asking any of that. It's interesting. The thing that comes up on Judgment Day is this: with all the nations gathered, the sheep, the goats, he separates them. And the king says to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." A righteous will answer him and say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me."
Amen.
Friends, we're just simply asking that those listening would contribute $5,000. That would be about $2 to $3 per person, but not everybody's going to respond. So I would encourage you all to step in and contribute to Brother Ramon, his wife, and a few others that we can help as well. And we're going to talk about more of this in just a moment. But friends, just go to generations.org and donate to our International Fund today. Be back in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. Friends, listen, there is nothing families need more than godly husbands and fathers, spiritual men, praying men, men who are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Oh, that God would raise up stronger men, gentle, faithful shepherds, covenant keepers, men who won't quit, men who stay in the battle, men who persevere when the going gets tough, sacrificial lovers, robust men, not snowflakes. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So the apostle tells us, quit ye like men, be strong. That's why the Shepherd's Conference each year in my home here in Elizabeth, Colorado. Let me tell you, it's the best fellowship, the best worship, the best encouragement, the best exhortation, 5 days of immersive study in the Word of God, prayer and fellowship at my place out here on the eastern plains of Colorado, September 28th through October 2nd this year. Here's the caveat, there are only 45 spots open. Reserve now at generations.org/shepherds. That's generations.org/shepherds. And we are back on the Generations broadcast. We are privileged today. Man, we are privileged, Mike, to have you in studio.
It's my privilege to be here with you, Kevin.
This is Christmas for me. Mike Donnelly, an attorney from Homeschool Legal Defense Association, in studio with us today.
You're too kind.
Mike, let's talk about the United States. You are an attorney for Homeschool Legal Defense Association, right, fighting for parental rights, homeschool rights in this state and all around the United States. What's going on? The good, the bad, the ugly.
Well, there's good, bad, and ugly.
It's all of it.
You can find any and all that you want. Okay. That's why I'm here in Colorado. Uh-huh. I'm going to be at the Capitol tomorrow testifying, actually in support of a bill, but also working to try to convince the legislators to oppose and kill this bill that a lot of people, I think, who are listening and are in Colorado are going to be concerned about, which is SB 163, which is a bill that would just put a whole lot more hurdles on people who want to be able to choose the medical care for their child. And we're talking specifically about immunizations and getting an exemption from immunizations.
Why is it that the left is bound and determined to put every child through immunizations? I mean, what is it that commits the left to that agenda?
You know, I honestly don't know. HSLDA does not take a position on whether parents should or should not immunize their kids. I mean, we all have our personal views, of course.
Right.
But our issue here is...
But you think there should be liberty?
That's our issue. Our issue is that the state should not be imposing any unreasonable, unwarranted, unnecessary restrictions on parents exercising their authority, their rights, their duty to make decisions for their child's health care. And that includes sticking a needle in them and putting something in them.
Yeah.
And there are lots of people who have legitimate religious convictions and legitimate non-religious but philosophical convictions about not doing that. And so we support that. And we've been fighting this in Colorado. It's one of the things we've been fighting on behalf of the homeschool community for years.
Like 10 years or something.
Probably about 10. Yeah, probably about 10 years. And just a few years ago, we were about 24 hours away from filing a federal civil rights lawsuit against the state of Colorado because they were putting stuff on their form that would be called compelled speech, violating the First Amendment. And they backed down. Mm-hmm. But now they're back at it. Mm-hmm. And they're now going to require people in Colorado to get an exemption. You're going to have to go through all these hoops, including getting a re-education certificate. So you're going to actually have to go online and take a propaganda education module. They don't call it propaganda, but that's what I'm calling it, to get a certificate of exemption. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you want to do that.
Yeah.
And this is going to affect the homeschool community. Mm-hmm. Every homeschooler is going to have to comply with this because homeschoolers in Colorado are required to have those forms. And the law is going to require that the homeschoolers use those forms. So unless this bill gets...
Can we exempt homeschoolers?
Well, we're working on that. And the sponsor of the bill, Representative Mullica, has said he wants to, quote unquote, hold homeschoolers harmless. I'm not sure exactly what that means. I'm hoping I get a chance to talk with him about it when I go there.
Great, if you could at least get some language.
Well, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to basically, because they seem to say that, look, we just want to deal with the public school population who all go to the schools. And okay, fine, you know, I mean, I don't think that's necessary. It seems like everything is fine now. I mean, Colorado has a fine system working right now. It's working. Mm-hmm. The schools can handle this, but what's going on here is the state wants to control. They want to have a list. They want to have high vaccination rates for whatever reason, and they're going to use their apparatus to do that. And that's what this bill is about.
Okay. Let's talk about just the United States. How are things going in terms of homeschooling rights all over the country?
Yeah, well, you know, it's every year we've got battles to fight. Every state is different. Mm-hmm. You know, we are seeing an uptick since 2017. We have more battles than we had kind of in the intervening years. In fact, from 2003 or 4 until 17, 18, pretty much all of the legislation was positive.
Really?
Removing restrictions, regulations, unnecessary burdens from homeschoolers. And since 17, we've had a lot of legislative proposals to impose restrictions. In fact, West Virginia is one of my states. And, you know, one thing that's cropping up more is some people are using these very tragic situations where you've got a child who's killed.
California situation.
Or a situation like the Turpins where children were killed, but they were really horribly treated.
Just a horrible
It was very abusive. It was abuse, and it shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
But this happens. But they want to take one case out of a million or 500,000, and they want to use that as a reason to restrict everybody else.
Right.
And this is the idea of of statism.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the state is always pushing more control, and people who want to have control are going to use any opportunity they have to advance that agenda. And so we have this, we're seeing those more and more.
And if the liberals get their way, before you know it, you'll have cameras on every street corner, cameras in every home.
Well, they have
doing what they're
doing in China. Stoplight cameras already, and they have, exactly.
But, you know, recognition cameras everywhere.
Oh, the facial recognition
stuff. They will put facial recognition everywhere, in every bedroom, in every house, on every street corner.
So I was with, I was at a meeting yesterday, and this is public information, so I can disclose this, but I was talking with a gentleman who leads a ministry to China, and he was saying now that what the Chinese are doing is they're banning online prayer.
How do you do that?
Yeah, well, because they watch people's social media posts.
Oh, wow.
And they're saying even if you're praying on your Facebook page, like saying, you know, whatever.
Yeah, God, please help us pass the test or something.
That's not okay. Uh-huh.
Right.
They're saying that's not okay, and they're clamping down on that. So you see this happening all over the world.
Well, that's the liberal agenda, and I guess you just have to put a full court press on every attempt to do this. We can't allow for this to continue, because once they get the ball rolling, it will keep rolling. So you've got to nip
battle,
it in
Kevin.
The bud. You just got to go for it in the bud.
Well,
now, are you successful?
Well, we're blessed. You know, HSLDA has been around for 35 years. We haven't lost many battles. I could probably count on one hand. Well, I should say in recent years. It used to be we lost a lot of court battles. I mean, in South Dakota, it took us 15 trips, or North Dakota, it's 15 trips to the Supreme Court before the legislature finally acted. But since homeschooling has been legalized in 1996 in all 50 states, I mean, I don't know if people realize, Kevin, I mean, you probably talk about it, but it was a battle. I mean,
you know,
because you were in it. But since then, we've been winning a lot of battles, but it's a constant fight. Freedom is it's tenuous.
Yeah.
It has to be defended every day.
Full court press.
Every day. And homeschoolers have HSLDA. They have people like you, CHECK, Christian Home Educators of Colorado, and other organizations like that in other states. They need to support those organizations.
Let me ask you this. What's the response of the Colorado homeschoolers or any other homeschool organization around the country when you call to action? What is the response? Are you happy with it?
I'm delighted with it.
Okay.
I mean, homeschoolers are one of those groups of people who respond to defend their freedoms. It's why we still have them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we didn't respond the way we do and go down to the Capitol with 500, 1,000, 3,000, 5,000 people and let the legislators know that, you know what, if you even, you know, just one a little thing, we're going to be on you.
We're on it.
We're on it and on you, and you're not going to enjoy it. So just leave us alone. And you know what? What's the problem?
Yeah.
What we want to be is left alone to do what is our right to do, which is to bring up our children as we see fit.
They should be happy that we're not down there to ask for another $24 billion.
Right? Like we're not asking for money.
The next set of lobbyists. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah, we're just asking you to leave us alone.
But now if you just ask to be left alone, they're like, well, why?
Yeah.
And now we want to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And no, we're not going to leave you alone. We're going to tell you what to do. And you're going to tell us what you're doing. And that's the concern. So that's why we're going to always push back.
It's great, though, what God has provided for us. All 50 states. Homeschooling is
incredible.
Legal. God has provided an island of freedom. And it's growing like crazy.
Well, an island. I mean, we're a light to the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I mean, people look at America and they see 2 million homeschooled kids. They see the research. They see that it works. They see it's a vibrant community. And they're like, we can do this. And that's what we have. And you travel around the world. I travel around the world as well. And we have such a message of hope, of encouragement, of inspiration. And people are wanting that. They're ready for it because, you know, look, public education's big, lots of money. It's not just going to go away. But people are crying out for more options, and homeschooling is one of those options that people are really interested in.
And the interest is busting out. At least 100 nations tune into this radio program.
Wow.
And to our online summits. Our online summits, you know, those last week.
Yeah, those
25,000 families.
Wow.
Largest we've ever had.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing what has happening around the world. It's not just here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It is everywhere. This thing is going
worldwide.
And I'm so thankful for it. We just need to be thankful to God for what he has done.
I couldn't agree more.
Well, Mike, thanks.
It's my privilege, Kevin. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Mike Donnelly from HSLDA with us on this edition of the program. This is Kevin Swanson, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.